Hey Heartbreakers, welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode. And today we are not going to feel bad for cheaters, but we are going to try and empathize with them, which I feel like we maybe done this once on the bonus episodes before, but it came up again and we gotta rehash it sometimes, you know? If we're gonna talk about it once, I feel like there's always a new way to look at a situation. And this week on the main episode, we talked to somebody who said that she stepped out of her relationship and she took accountability for it and didn't blame anybody else for it, which to me shows a lot of personal growth because, like I said, we don't need to think that cheating's right, but I think sometimes it's important to understand why people do the things that they do. And there's so many people cheating out there that we might as well sit down, put a microscope to it, and look at some of the reasons why somebody would step out on the relationship. And maybe you can see it from their perspective too. But before we get into the episode, if you didn't know, a couple of weeks ago, a couple months ago, my friend Amber and I sat down for a long conversation about her getting catfished for like 8 years, and it's a pretty wild tale. It was our live podcast done in Atlanta, Georgia, which was so, so fun. So because there was a ticket entry, I decided to put it behind a paywall on Vimeo. So if you want to hear how she literally had an online relationship for a decade, you can find those details in the episode description. Also, if you want to submit a breakup story, that submission form is also there as well. So I feel like the disclaimer that is kind of obvious if you listen to this podcast is I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not really even a professional. I'm just somebody with a crap ton of relationship data based off of hearing so many people's breakups. And I will reference some professional studies that I have found in my own research, but I feel like from this breakup story podcast research project that it's kind of turned into, is the main reason I feel like most people cheat in the stories that I have heard throughout the past 3 years of interviewing people about the end of their breakups is because this is such a female-centric podcast, a lot of the stories are from the perspectives of women. And my theory surrounding men and heterosexual relationships is that if they aren't able to articulate how they're feeling emotionally, because men are typically conditioned to suppress their emotions, is they will try and find some kind of external factor to make the relationship end. And the blunt way for me to put that is they will self-sabotage the relationship. The example here being, okay, I'm not really happy in this relationship, but I don't know that I feel strongly enough to end it, or I don't really want to deal with the messy emotions of having to end a relationship. So maybe I'll flirt with this coworker here, and maybe that flirting turns into, we have a couple of beers after work. And maybe a couple of beers after work turns into a full-blown affair. And then before you know it, your girlfriend has found all of those spicy text messages on your Apple Watch, and your relationship has come to an end, and you are labeled a cheater. Now, because I've heard that story so many times and I've made my own inferences from me feeling like guys are self-sabotaging their relationship, as I get older, I've started realizing that people really are trying their best. And I don't mean that people are doing the best. I mean, none of us are perfect and none of us are ever gonna act in the exact same way and the exact type of way we should at all times. But I think we really try to do the best with what we're given based off of our life experiences. And if you haven't been in a situation where you've had to face your feelings head on, which I think a lot of men aren't encouraged to do, then I think we can better understand why somebody would self-sabotage a relationship like that. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying they should get off scot-free. I'm not even saying we should feel bad for them. I'm just saying I think I have learned in my old age, after my frontal lobe has developed, is that people in those situations, like, that's the best they could do with the emotional capacity that they had at the time, at least. And you hope that after that experience, they do better and they grow from it. But some people won't, and they'll continue to ruin lives. So at least I'll be in business with this breakup podcast. The next point of why people cheat is actually coming from an episode that I listened to from Diary of a CEO. That is one of my favorite podcasts. If you haven't tuned into it, I always feel like it is so well edited. It is long form, like it's definitely like a heavy listen every time you sit into it, but everything is concise, very eloquent. The interviews are always really interesting. And Steven, the host, had this woman on who was talking about why people cheat. And there was something she said that I didn't quite enjoy that she said, because some of the things that she brought up was that, some people cheat because they just want variety, or they feel like they're lonely in their relationship. And we're gonna talk about that, of course, in this episode. But the one thing she said at the end of the section of when she was talking about why people cheat, I actually found this very interesting because I've heard other professionals use this term to describe why people do things that people can't wrap their mind around. Like, why would somebody leave their family, or why would somebody quit their job out of nowhere? And this expert that Steven had on, her name is Esther Perel. She is a really, really famous love and sex expert. But she said that a lot of the reasons that people cheat is to feel alive. And there's another doctor that I listen to. I'm assuming he's a doctor because he goes by Dr. Delaney. He uses that reference a lot for why people do things that don't really make sense to us. And I think 10 years ago, I would have been like 17, 18. That really wouldn't have made sense to me. But there's something about becoming an adult where life just beats you down so much. And I feel like life starts to feel just like these patterns that happen over and over and over again that kind of lull us into this sense of boredom and this is just how life is always going to be, that when something comes around and it reminds us that life doesn't have to be this mundane, depressing thing where it feels like you're constantly fighting things that are going wrong. When something comes around and it makes you feel like you're 17 again and things are new and there's so much possibility in front of you and anything can happen and who cares about anything that could go wrong? What could go wrong? I feel like people are desperate to cling on to that. And I think affairs are kind of the perfect example of that because, you know, if you've been in a relationship for, let's say, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 years, and life does start to feel like a routine and mundane, and you've got these same problems over and over again, and then something new and shiny and exciting comes around and it ignites that youthful fire in you again that you haven't felt in 15 years. It's the kind of thing you can't bottle up, so when it's in front of you, you don't want to let it go. And I feel like with all of these, I have to put the disclaimer, it's not right. We don't have to think that anybody should do it, but we can empathize with it, right? Like, if you've felt like your relationship has just kind of hit a dead end despite trying or communicating, and then something exciting comes around that brings you a sense of aliveness. Yeah, I can see why you would want to go down a path of dark destruction to ruin your life. But even if we don't think it's right, I think we can, once again, empathize with it. I would like to take this brief intermission to remind you that if you've ever gotten cheated on, it is never about you, as I hope these examples have proven. But I also think the number one insecurity that comes up when people have been cheated on is that they feel a kind of shame of like, oh, somebody cheated on me. There must be something wrong with me. There's somebody prettier or funnier or more interesting than me. And I thought I would go down a list of famous people, specifically famous women, who have been cheated on. Because I don't know about you, but when I look at these women, I think they're stunning, they're badass, they're everything any guy I've ever dated would have wanted to be with. And I think it's good because it keeps things in perspective that, once again, cheating is never a personal attack. Well, I mean, I can't make full blanket statements for the entire population, but in general. So let's remind ourselves that the lovely, the talented Halle Berry was cheated on. Let's not forget Eva Longoria. She was cheated on by Tony Parker. Sandra Bullock was cheated on with her husband at the time, Jesse James. And this was while they were going through the process to adopt a child together. Shout out to Sandra. She then eventually would divorce him, and then she adopted a baby by herself. Kick-ass lady. Gabrielle Union was cheated on by Dwayne Wade. They're still together, but while they were engaged, he cheated on her. Kind of insane. Sienna Miller was cheated on by Jude Law, which, I love Jude Law. This, like, really hurt me when I found out this happened. He had an affair with the nanny. The nanny. She was in a West End play at the time, which, if you don't know, is the British equivalent to Broadway. Absolutely crushing it at her job, and he's at home fucking the nanny. Shania Twain's husband cheated on her, one of the biggest country pop stars of all time. He had an affair with her best friend, who was also married, and then they both got divorced. And then it's kind of funny how things play out, but then Shania and her best friend's husband ended up getting married. So, you know, all's well that ends well, I think. We'll give one to the guys here. I actually totally forgot about this story. Robert Pattinson was cheated on by Kristen Stewart. She apparently cheated on him with her director. Yikes. Okay, this one hurts because obviously if you've ever seen Love Actually, you know that there's this crushing scene where Emma Thompson has to have a visceral reaction to something that happens in the movie. I won't give it away, but you can imagine it probably hit a little bit closer closer to home than it should have, but she was happily married and he had an affair with Helena Bonham Carter. What? Ben Affleck was rumored to cheat on Jennifer Garner with their nanny. Guess him and Jude Law will have something to talk about next time they're at an award show together. This broke my heart because I love Dennis Quaid, but Dennis Quaid cheated on Meg Ryan. Fergie got cheated on by Josh Duhamel after a stripper publicly accused him of having an affair with her. He's denied it, but apparently that went down. J-Lo said that she's been cheated on many times and she's gorgeous. Gwen Stefani's ex, Gavin Rossdale, was having an affair with the nanny. Jeez, it's always the freaking nanny. Beyonce was cheated on. Of course, she and Jay-Z are back together, but Beyonce was cheated on. So once again, I hope if you have recently gotten cheated on or if you're in therapy for some trauma from cheating, hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better and reminds you that it's not because you weren't enough. It's because of something that somebody was going through at the time. Okay, back to empathy. So you know when you see a gorgeous woman like Beyonce get cheated on by her man and you're like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, we're talking about Beyonce, or I think Candace Swainpole is another woman that got cheated on. And you look at them and you're like, God, these are like the gold standard for women. Why did these women get cheated on by these dudes who are objectively just not as cool as them? And I've never understood that. Like, obviously, like, Jay-Z is a very hyperbolic example. But like, think of that hot girl, you know, that's just dating a guy who's kind of a dud and then he cheats on her. And you're like, why would you do that, dude? Like, you think you would be on your hands and knees thanking God every day that that woman loves you. You know what I mean? Like, that relationship is the one that you fell into when, if she dumps you, bro, like, I don't know if you can do as well as she can. That's always been a baffling situation to me. Maybe it's a little superficial. Obviously, you know, I'm not just talking about looks, but like talent and goodness and all of those things that make somebody an attractive partner. And then you see someone just step out on them for no reason other than one of the reasons that people cheat, according to my research, is self-esteem. Self-esteem is one of those things we've talked about a lot on the podcast when it comes to why people stay in relationships that they're not necessarily being treated the best in. But I think self-esteem is also one of the biggest things when it comes to why somebody would step out on a relationship. Because if in your mind, and I've heard actually women talk about this from the perspective of them wanting to be with partners that they think they are more attractive than. But if you are, I'm gonna excuse a guy, for example, a guy with a beautiful woman, and you look at that woman every day and feel in some capacity that you don't measure up to that woman, cheating with multiple women in some way, in like a sick, twisted way, is gonna boost your self-esteem. Whereas if you wake up every day, you see the goddess next to you, and you feel bad about yourself for some reason, but then, you know, when the weekend comes, you can get another girl. I could see how in somebody's mind that would make them feel like a big shot. Like, oh, well, I can get any girl I want to when I'm out at the bar, or I can get 15 girls if I want. Like, I'm still a hot shot. So even if you feel like in some way you're somehow way out of your league in your actual relationship, getting more women would be a huge boost to your ego. But I could even see it from a standpoint of if you are a person cheating on your significant other, and I can't remember what episode it was, but I definitely feel like somebody brought this up with their partner. But I feel like cheating is also a way to passively demean your partner. Like, if you want to make your partner feel less than, if you guys have a true deep connection and relationship and then you step out, like, I know if I was the person getting cheated on, yeah, it would make me feel less than myself. So it's like a really extreme way, I think, to like, in your mind, put them on your level, if you will, even though it's really fucked up. And the last one I'll mention in this episode, because honestly, we could do a 6-hour dissertation on all the reasons why people cheat. I mean, I literally think this podcast is sort of a study into why people cheat because we have so many episodes on them. But the one that I think fits the gray area, and it's kind of an existential question, like, can humans be monogamous? Were humans meant to be monogamous? And I think for some people, there's a desire to have multiple partners. And I don't know if some people are just built for polyamory, if some people just need more sexual or romantic variety in their life. But I would say the final reason we can talk about is a need for spontaneity, a need for something different. And that's so tough, right? Because there's really no solution to a need for variety other than variety. Like, if you're in a monogamous relationship with someone who just has a really hard time just sticking to one person, then I think the hard truth is that relationship probably just isn't going to pan out unless you are okay with polyamory, or unless you're okay with, you know, them sneaking behind your back and cheating on you, which I don't really know who would be okay with anybody sneaking around doing anything. And while I think there's a lot of validity to people who need variety, sometimes I wonder if it is just an excuse for a lack of discipline. Because I do think to an extent, monogamy over a long period of time does take some discipline. Like I think at some point, like everybody's gonna get a little bored in their relationship. Like if you're with somebody for 20 years, like it's natural to want to do something with somebody else within those 20 years. Like I think humans are totally capable of monogamy, but it's also just natural to like be curious about other people or just want to switch something up in your own life. Either way, based off of some of the episodes we've had where we have talked about polyamory, some people are polyamorous, but do not let your boyfriend gaslight you 3 years into a relationship where he's just cheating on you and say that's because he's polyamorous. Okay? This is by no means me giving anyone permission in any case to say that if you've stepped out, it's just because you can't handle monogamy. There is a difference between an ethical, conscious choice for someone to have a polyamorous relationship and then for someone just to use it as a bullshit excuse. But alas, I digress. This is where I'm gonna end the breakdown bonus episode. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm on vacation next week, so it will be a repeat episode, but hopefully it's one you haven't listened to yet because we have so many episodes. But other than that, I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.